The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
.com. Mark Moriarty is with me in studio, the award-winning chef and author, back for a second season of Roasted, his podcast. And for people who haven't seen or haven't listened rather to season one, or I should say seen, so much of this is filmed and put up on social media as well these days, Mark, what's the concept?
The concept of this is we interview notable people from all sorts of parts of Irish life, and we ask them questions about their life but through the prism of food. So like last season, we had the likes of Brian O'Driscoll and we had Leo Varadkar and these kind of people. And we all know what they do in their profession, but it's the sort of things that you wonder what happens, I suppose, behind the scenes. So with someone like Leo Varadkar, what I was interested in was, like, when you go to the White House, what sort of food do you get served up? Where do you stay? How do you get there?
Yes.
A sort of peek behind the curtain. This season, we've got some great guests. We've Mike Tahiti Ray, who's number one, was out yesterday. And we've the likes of Paul McGinley. And for me, with the, take, for example, Paul McGinley, I'm asking him, well, we see you play golf back in the day, or we see you as an analyst now on Sky Sports, but what happens when the show finishes? Where do you go? What do you drink? Where do you, what do you eat? What's the lifestyle like? Do people annoy you? This sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So there, that's the sort of, because there's so many podcasts and conversations out there. That was my sort of angle of how I wedge food into it.
There was an element of Leo's that I felt, you know, he was a man after my own heart. Because yeah, no matter how fancy a restaurant I'm in, if I'm having dessert, I'll always just ask them for a bowl of ice cream. He loved
his
ice cream.
His was ice cream, and it was funny because, like, I'm no professional interviewer. You kind of get into it. But at the time, I was like, okay, I have the Taoiseach sitting in front of me and he's trying to guess the flavour of ice cream.
All the things you could ask.
But yeah, the thing about food is, food's a very personal thing. So you go to someone's house and they cook you a meal. Quite a personal gift to give someone. It doesn't matter who you are, President of the United States, to myself cooking food for a living, everyone has to eat and have their dinner. So there's that sort of common denominator element to it. And one of the things we do is, before a guest will come on to the show, we send an email and we say, is there one dish or one ingredient that you're really enjoying at the moment? And then what I do is I go away and I cook it. And generally, it's a great icebreaker because it breaks down the barrier. It's not Kieran Cuddihy asking you about the figures from a political point of view. It's a conversation about your life and food. But I learned so much from the response. Like, some people will send me a one-page essay on, I loved this and I went here and I did this. Some people will say it's just one particular ingredient that might have been from their childhood. So you kind of get a real insight through food of where they're going to go. So, like, I did this dish for you here today where I asked you for an ingredient and you said goat's cheese, but you also said, but don't dare give me beetroot with it. So all of a sudden you're getting a bit of a, okay, well, what's, why goat's cheese?
Well, I love all cheeses. I really love cheese. I love a really, like, a cashel blue, or I used to love brie when I was a young fella. I ate so much of it. I always forced my mother doing the shopping, bring home a kind of a slice of brie.
That's a pretty fancy thing for a young lad to be.
I really, really liked it. I used to come in sometimes, you know, people who put pizza when they'd come home, and I'd come home, have a few drinks on me, and I'd cut, like, slices of a baguette up. This is like the most painfully middle class thing to do. And I would put a bit of olive oil and a bit of brie and I'd lightly toast it. And more than once I may have fallen asleep, which is very, very dangerous for it all to be scalded in the oven. But that's what I would do. I'd toast it under the grill. A little bit of olive oil and brie.
While you eat that, like, when that happens in the podcast, that gives me so many different insights into, like, your life and sending your mother off, and who was she and where did you grow up? And there's so many fancy restaurants down in Kilkenny that you could be growing up on proper stuff like
that. There is. There's lots of lovely restaurants. And why I said don't put it with beetroot is, I guess that's the standard. Now, sorry, I say the standard. I'll often order it. I'll still order it, but it often does come with it as the standard starter.
So that's what you're eating there now, is a little ham and cheese toasty take.
That's lovely.
So caramelised. That's Knockdrina cheese as well. So it's from County Kilkenny. I thought that was a nice...
That is nice. That's a nice, nice touch. Do people ever... you know, I often used to watch Ready, Steady, Cook with Ainsley Harriott, and sometimes they'd come out with these, for people who don't remember it, or younger people, they'd tip this shopping bag out and there'd be three products and they'd have to come up with a recipe based on them. Do people ever say things to you and you think, how am I going to reinvent this? Or they're so specific with what they want. Mine was fairly vague.
Really specific is handy. Like, we'd Simon Delaney in there during the week, I was chatting to me. He just wanted...
He's a good cook now,
Simon Delaney. He's a good cook, but he wanted key lime pie. And I hadn't made key lime pies since I was in home economics. I was like, what's the story here? It actually, he says it reminds him of when he was a fledgling actor trying to make it in the US.
Yeah.
He could only afford to go into diners to eat. And he always remembered big slabs of key lime pie. And
it's a real US food, isn't it?
But it really transported you to a time in his life or whatever. And then some people will say, I think Kaylee Trapp last year said, I just love pistachio because it's all over TikTok at the moment. That's a little bit more difficult. And even in my job, I've been lucky enough to travel around the world to do these events and cook dinners. There's nothing worse than going to a place where they say, we can get anything you want from anywhere in the world. It's impossible to write a menu.
Oh, yeah. Whereas, it's a tyranny of choice, kind of.
You're like, well, where do I even begin with that? Whereas if you go, and that's generally sort of Asia, Middle East, but you could go then to a place, like I've done dinners in Northern California, and they say, well, it's on in October, and these are the only ingredients we have. And we go, great. I have a sort of a place I can go down there and design a menu. But again, it's not this podcast as well. It's not about the food. It's about what the food gives us in terms of insights into people's lives.
You know, there's a global shortage of pistachios because of the social media thing, apparently.
It's mad.
Yeah, you can't get them for the things they actually are needed for.
Yeah, well, it's crazy, some of the ingredients that go
awful in. Dubai chocolate.
Horrible stuff. And then, but do you think like avocados? I always remember being in New Zealand.
Yeah, there was a shortage of them as well a few years ago, yeah.
But they were growing them in New Zealand and they were £7 in New Zealand. I was like, how are they £7 where they're growing them? And then when I go back to the supermarket in Ireland, they're only £3. How does that work?
If you were to be a guest on your own podcast, what food or what recipe, what meal would you suggest?
Potatoes. I think it would be anything with potatoes.
Really?
Yeah, that's the one thing.
Why?
I go back to.
What would that tell me about you?
I don't know. I think it would definitely go back to my mum used to make us dinners and she was the person that sort of got me into food and hard work and parents, and it was always... She worked stupid hours, but she'd always come home and make a point of making us dinner when we were growing up. And we would sit around the family table and we didn't have phones at the time and we would have conversation and then she'd go back to work at 8, 9 o'clock till 1 in the morning. And she would always say, so long as I had spuds on, either in the steam or the thing, that she knew we'd always be fed. But it's the connection to the point that, and I've become a parent recently, where she always made sure no matter how busy she was to get home, make dinner and sit down as a family. And that's kind of a striking thing. So spuds are always the one thing that I revert back to.
But that's an interesting, you've been there, because I've heard you bring this up before as well. The idea that no matter how much the world changes and how much it has changed, it's one of the things that has remained the same. You know, like as in, our grandmothers grew up in a completely different world. Their grandmothers, again, grew up in a completely different world. And actually then from then back, the world didn't really change. It's only in the last handful of generations, it's kind of become utterly unrecognizable to the generations before. And yet, in the evening, people sit down around a table and food is cooked and put on a plate and eaten with cutlery. And yes, sometimes kids are staring at their phones now when they weren't in the past, but largely... They're sitting there. So isn't it remarkable how it's one of the... We take it for granted because we do it every day, 3 times a day.
Yeah. I think I said to the researcher before this as well, I was like, you look at religions and stuff and a lot of the imagery back then is all like, they look at the Last Supper and anytime there's an important moment, there seems to be a meal or food shared. And that's one of my favourite things about being a chef. And it's an industry that gets a bit of a bad rap in terms of hours and pay and whatnot. And there is an element to that, but I still absolutely love it because nothing gives me greater joy at home or in my business sense of cooking people food and giving people pleasure through food. Now, it's great that some people will pay a lot of money for it, but I still get a great kick out of putting a plate of food in front of someone at a dinner or an event and they eat it and they just go, that was like 5 minutes of absolute heaven. That for me is, I still get a great kick out of it. And I presume it's the same for, I don't know what it is in your job or for, I don't know, politicians looking back or sports people winning a trophy. They're the moments that you still do it for.
Connor says, Kieran, brie and olive oil, and you a proud Kilkenny man. All I eat is porridge with seeds and jam for breakfast. And if I'm too busy for dinner too, even after a feed in the pub, what does that say, Connor?
Well, that's what Michael Healy Ray had for, he wanted porridge. That was his choice on the first episode.
Well, I'll sigh because I've done it before, another podcast, but in fairness to them, the two Johnnies and their great description of overnight oats as porridge that went to Trinity, which I think is a great description. Mark, listen, thanks a million for coming into us. I'm Mark Moriarty, the award-winning chef, author and host of Roasted, the second season out now, episode 1 with Michael Healy Ray, and plenty more to come. Mark, thanks a million. Back in a moment.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.